Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it is a Tuesday morning. It is Tuesday, March 2nd. A little chilly out there, 20 degrees, but full sun across Michigan, especially in southeastern Michigan right now, going up to 41 degrees. Yesterday, it felt a lot colder because we had a ton of wind, if you noticed, and a little bit calmer today, again, high in the low 40s. Sunny tomorrow, 52, yay. Thursday, 38, Friday, 42. And then inching upward through the weekend, 43 on Saturday, and then on Sunday, 48 degrees. So looking pretty good across the Great Lakes State. We'll give you more on the national weather forecast in a bit. Looking forward to the show today. Always look forward to talking with my little sis, Vanessa Denhagarmo from Epiphany. And, of course, Epiphany Communications and the show Epiphany, heard weekends on Ave Maria Radio. We do a segment once a week, and literally I tell you we could do it every day. There's so much going on with the media that shouldn't be going on with the media, okay? Now, we're giving them credit a little bit this morning for starting to cover the Cuomo scandals, but it's too little too late, and they need to really get back to doing the basics of journalism and stop being so hypocritical with so many double standards in the way they cover conservatives versus liberals. Anywho, we'll be talking about Andrew Cuomo, and of course, now there are three women that have come forward claiming that he sexually harassed them. He is innocent until proven guilty. So we'll let that be out there. And, of course, everybody's entitled to due process, even though Brett Kavanaugh wasn't when he was in the running for his now-held Supreme Court position. The media treated him very differently and practically wanted to hang him upside down by his toes as Mussolini was hanged many years ago. It was just awful. And the information, if you could call it that, that came out from Dr. Ford, if you recall, she couldn't even remember any of the details. And these charges are extremely specific of these women that are coming forward with Cuomo. So there's so much to talk about there in terms of the lack of context and the lack of fair and balanced reporting with Kavanaugh versus Cuomo. Now, we're not saying that when someone comes forward that charges shouldn't, or you know, allegations shouldn't be looked at. But it was covered much, much differently a few years ago with Brett Kavanaugh, to the point of just being over the top, already saying he's guilty and should not even be considered for the position in the high court. Things are happening. Things are really imploding with Democrats now. One top Democrat in the state of New York calling for him to actually resign, in addition to a long list now of Democrats calling for an investigation. And then Cuomo was even calling for his own investigator. This is this arrogance that comes in. Oh, yeah, I'll investigate myself. I'll pick and choose my investigator. Well, he quickly changed his mind about that decision because of the criticism that came forward. But to me, this ties in with everything we've been talking about on Ave Maria Radio regarding the dignity of the human person, especially when it comes to the issues pertaining to women. You know, Pope Paul VI in Humana Vitae talked, and I'll probably be going more into this in two cents. He talks so specifically about how this culture of death, birth control and abortion, in Humana Vitae again, would impact women. And we're seeing this over and over and over again. If you look at the hypocrisy of those on the left who say they're the party of caring about women, they give us abortion, which is deadly in more ways than one. They give us birth control, the same thing. They give us a whole gender ideology, which is destroying women's sports as we know it. So over and over and over again, they say one thing, and their policies are doing the opposite. And they're all in to speak up about, quote-unquote, sexual harassment until it affects one of their own, and until they're forced to speak out, which is what happened with the Cuomo case. And to me, it's just incredibly, I think, eye-opening in the way the situation works. Evil implodes on itself eventually. And I know we can get very, very frustrated, but when you are in the habit of lying and you are not coming clean about things in your own past, and I'm not saying that Cuomo couldn't make comments on Brett Kavanaugh years ago, but he acted as if he was so high and mighty and that he respected women so much, when according to these people coming forward, not only the women with the allegations, but people who have worked close to Cuomo in the past, many people stepping down now, saying that this has been status quo. This is nothing new. So my question is, in addition to the media finally being pressured to come out now, and some of these Democrats, where were these people? If they're all for women, why did they keep silent? They kept silent about Harvey Weinstein, Epstein. Think of all these people and think of all the men in prominent figures in the news that were coddled and protected for decades. And these are the people who say they care so much about women. It's nonsense. And women continue to be sold a bill of goods by these people. All right, so that's coming up at 8:30 with Vanessa Tenhagarmo, and I may even squeeze some of that into 2 cents. We will see. In the National Hour, boy, this is going to be a powerful interview. Andrew lined up Janet Brown. She's a former Planned Parenthood employee and was actually converted on the whole pro-life issue because listen to this, and this is a coincidence, I'm telling you. So she takes this office of Director of Quality and Risk Management for Planned Parenthood. She goes in, she takes this job, and there was a radio in her office. And for whatever reason, it could only get one station. And she was forced, well, she wasn't forced. She actually decided to listen because she wanted some noise in the background. The only station that aired was a station that carried Rush Limbaugh. And even though she was a liberal feminist and couldn't stand the talk show legend, she kept the radio on. And, you know, Rush was very pro-life, and he was often a very strong critic of Planned Parenthood. So year after year, she's listening to him, and she's realizing that everything he's saying about Planned Parenthood is true. And now she is involved in Abby Johnson's group, and then there were none. So we're going to be talking with Janet Brown. I don't want to give too much away. You have to listen to this testimony. It's phenomenal. But I just love the fact how this was the only radio station. Coinkydink? I think not. Pro-life discussion continues with our friend Kristen Hawkins. Have you heard about this House Resolution 1? Yeah, well, if you think the executive orders regarding the transgender ideology and everything else that this administration is pushing on us, wait till you hear this. It's all about supposedly free speech. And again, it's just the opposite. So we have a jam-packed show for you today. Vanessa Tenhagarmo, Janet Brown, and Kristen Hawkins coming up on a Tuesday morning, March 2nd, 2021. All right, it's already 8:07, and as you can imagine, lots of news to get through. So let's see what's happening in and around our world today before we get to 2 cents. And then Vanessa Tenhagarmo and T in the news. Here we go. Hundreds of schoolgirls were kidnapped from their school last week in northern Nigeria, Vatican Radio reports, by a group of unidentified armed men, but they've been released now, thanks be to God, according to local authorities. The schoolgirls abducted on Friday from Government Girls Secondary School in the Zamfara state. This is the second time in a week that students have been taken from a school in the country. A few days before the latest kidnapping incident, over 40 people, including teaching staff and their families, were abducted from a boys' boarding school in the same area. They were released on Saturday. School kidnappings, meanwhile, have been increasing in recent times in a Vatican News story which says it's a worrying trend that has many concerned parents rethinking enrolling their children in boarding schools, especially in northern Nigeria. First adopted by extremist jihadist groups, the tactic has now been adopted by other militants whose agendas, well, they remain unclear. This, the Vatican News says, has contributed to an unfortunate breakdown of security in the country, where kidnapping for ransom is becoming a very profitable industry. The Archdiocese of Baltimore is setting aside the weekend of March 13th through the 14th as a time to focus on the dangers of pornography and the resources available to avoid and recover from it. March 14th in the Archdiocese will be observed as Safe Haven Sunday. Parishes are encouraged to highlight resources to fight porn and to discuss the threat of pornography for individuals and married couples. The Catholic Review, as Catholic News Agency explains, which is the newspaper for the Archdiocese of Baltimore, citing statistics from Internet Accountability Organization Covenant Eyes detailing how pervasive porn use is in our culture today. 20% of mobile searches are for porn, and Covenant Eyes says even Christians report significant levels of porn use. Furthermore, a significant percentage of students, more than half of males and a third of females, say they were first exposed to porn before they were teenagers. A third woman, as Scott Pringle reports, is now coming forward with accusations against New York Governor Andrew Cuomo.
Anna Roos tells the New York Times she had just met the governor when he put his hands on her bare back during a 2019 wedding reception, and then later she says he put his hands on her face asking if he could kiss her. Her story comes after two former Cuomo staffers came forward with sexual harassment allegations against the governor. The governor has not addressed this specific incident, but has apologized for making jokes that he says some people may have interpreted as insensitive. New York Congresswoman Kathleen Rice now among a handful of Democrats calling on Cuomo to resign.
In addition to concerns being raised by fellow Democratic politicians and those calling for him to step down, Governor Cuomo is also hearing from New York State's Republican leader in the Senate. He's also calling for him to resign. Rob Ort feels Cuomo is innocent until proven guilty with the harassment claims, but is now dealing with sex harassment allegations on top of the coronavirus nursing home investigation.
I don't know that any one person could realistically dedicate the proper time to New Yorkers while also dealing with that.
Ort feels those in politics in Albany have known about a hostile work environment for a long time in the Cuomo administration, but never reported it publicly out of fear. A group of Chicago restaurant and bar owners are calling on local leaders to expand indoor dining capacity in the city. Chicago Restaurants Coalition Coordinator Roger Romanelli citing the city's declining COVID-19 positivity rate as a reason for the expansion.
This should apply to all commercial businesses that serve the public, and restaurants can't be burdened uniquely by including a myriad of other COVID-19 matrix points.
The coalition asking the city there to increase capacity to the lesser of 50% or 100 people by Thursday. It also wants the city to revive its survival grant program for restaurants. New voting restrictions are heading to the Georgia State Senate. The House passing a bill yesterday which will limit locations of absentee drop boxes and require a copy of an ID to request absentee ballots. Opponents of the proposal call it voter suppression, while supporters say it will restore confidence in the election process. The Senate is considering a separate bill which will end no-excuse absentee voting. Many residents of Texas are still reeling from that brutal winter storm that socked the Lone Star State late last month. Catherine Tanner says her business, Head and Heart Farm in Fredericksburg, lost 80% of their crops. And while they wait to find out what will all mean for the future, she says she hopes her story will help others realize they need to be better prepared.
They say that this is a storm that's once in a generation, but you know, we need to be prepared for this sort of extreme weather to be happening a little more often.
With so many farms suffering the same fate, there is growing concern now that grocery bills could soon start to rise across the nation. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, meanwhile, is suing a wholesale electric provider for high prices during last month's power outages. Paxton says Gritty broke the Texas deceptive trade practices after some customers were hit with massive bills without warning them. Paxton noted other lawsuits against power companies for outrageous failures are pending. The power company says it told customers to switch to other utility companies once it was evident energy demand would be high. Some customers reported bills as high as, get this, $9,000 during the outages from two winter storms. Jody Guerrero tells us that March is National Brain Injury Awareness Month, and doctors are saying many of those injuries go unrecorded.
Over 3 million brain injuries are reported each year in the United States. National Brain Injury Institute Senior Vice President Timothy Dillard says there is a national epidemic of untreated brain injuries.
The actual number of brain injuries is 2 to 3 times larger.
He says this is because most people don't report their injuries. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the leading causes of traumatic brain injury hospitalizations were falls and motor vehicle crashes in 2014, which are the most recent statistics.
And cherry blossom season in Washington, D.C., believe it or not, is almost upon us. Diana Mayhew with the National Cherry Blossom Festival says it could be a fun time for everyone, even with some COVID restrictions.
The National Cherry Blossom Festival will once again launch the city's much-anticipated springtime celebration on March 20th, the first day of spring, and continue through April 11th.
Peak bloom expected between April 2nd and April 5th. Folks are encouraged to take advantage of Bloom Cam that is available 24 hours a day online. That's fun. No parade this year, but specifics surrounding in-person crowds will be announced in the coming week. So apparently they're still allowing for some in-person events, which will be great. And finally, in our news segment on a Tuesday morning, 8:14, a sunny Tuesday, a little chilly out there right now, but warming up today. Okay, so I really think this scenario in this story you're going to hear is going to end up, no doubt, in the next Cheetos commercial. Here's Mark Mayfield. Take a listen.
Sharon Carr was arrested for reportedly breaking into a Tulsa home after officers responded to a 911 call. The homeowner identified Carr as the person who came in through an open window, leaving bottled water and an open bag of Cheetos in the home. Police say Carr was found with the snack residue in her mouth, leading them to believe that she was definitely their suspect.
I love Cheetos. Not as much as I love Cheez-Its, but Cheetos are really good, too. All right. So it's a Tuesday. There's a lot going on. V is joining me at the bottom of the hour for In the News with TNV, and we've got a lot to discuss, especially the double standard and the hypocrisy coming from CNN and Chris Cuomo. So if you recall last year, when Cuomo was just the god for the media darling, and that, I think, is putting it mildly, he wrote a book, he wins an Emmy, he's all about handling COVID, supposedly, right? Now, truth is coming out about the many problems and about the lies they told in terms of the numbers of people that actually died, especially the elderly. But then you have his brother last year all over his own brother on his show, and they're joking and they're laughing, and he's on night after night talking about the great job they're doing in New York State. Conflict of interest, big time. Now, back then, the head of CNN says, well, we had to have Governor Cuomo on his brother's show because it was so unique what we were going through. And yet now, all of a sudden, Chris Cuomo comes out and says he can't talk about the harassment allegations against his brother because it's a conflict of interest. So when it's good and your brother is being praised, you can have him all over the place. But when he is being charged with something very serious, at least in terms of allegations that are being made, I don't believe there's any formal police charges or law or anything in the law enforcement that's been filed yet, you can't talk about it. Huh? I don't think so. So that's one story, and very interesting about how Joe Biden has not showed up for any press conferences. His press secretary has handled it all, and he has not done one press conference with the media since he began in the White House the last 40 days. If that were a Republican or a conservative, the media wouldn't stand for it, and they shouldn't. The president should be out there talking to reporters. I can remember in the early days of the Trump administration, I gave him a lot of credit for putting, I mean, it wasn't a press conference. It was, you know, an attack session. It was screaming and yelling and, you know, Jim Acosta acting like a spoiled brat and screaming all kinds of things. However one feels about whomever is in office, they have a responsibility to speak to the people of the United States, and the media are supposed to offer those channels so people can hear from their elected leaders. Not happening with this administration. We'll talk about that and many other things, making the news or not making the news, with In the News with my dear friend and little sis, Vanessa Denhagarmo. And in the National Hour, you don't want to miss this interview. I can't wait to talk to this woman, Janet Brown, a former Planned Parenthood employee who has had total turnaround and conversion. She had a big position with Planned Parenthood. Now, not only did she change her mind about the abortion issue, but her eyes were opened as to what a joke her job was. I mean, and she says this, director of quality and risk management. She said year after year of bringing problems to Planned Parenthood officials, because her job supposedly was about making sure that they're dotting their I's and crossing their T's with the law. So she's taking notes and she's trying to address these issues, and they keep getting pushed aside. And then she is seeing these babies who are being killed, and she's realizing these are not blobs of tissue. What's going on? Well, her eyes were opened slowly but surely over a series of about 5 years, because the radio station that was in her office could only, for whatever reason, get one station on the air, and that was a station that carried the late Rush Limbaugh conservative talk show host. So it's going to be a great discussion, I'm sure, with Janet Brown, former Planned Parenthood employee who is now with And Then There Were None. And then more pro-life news from the dynamo Kristen Hawkins from Students for Life. A lot to talk about this morning. I do hope your day is going well on a Tuesday. Sunny out there right now, but a little chilly in Michigan. We'll have national forecast at the bottom of the hour. You are listening to Catholic Connection. Don't forget, it's a co-production of EWTN and Ave Maria Radio. Check out our great resources, AveMariaRadio.net. and EWTN.com. We will be right back. Stay tuned.
Weingarts, Weingarts, everything from lawn to snow. Hi, I'm Dan Weingartz. Our family is celebrating 75 years of helping families like yours choose the right power equipment for your lawn. Our experts will help you choose the right product from top brands like Steel. From legendary chainsaws, dependable trimmers, and powerful blowers, a Steel is designed for reliability and built for the long haul. Visit us to see the full Steel line at Weingartz.com.
Weingartz, Weingartz, everything from lawn to snow.
I'm Dr. Stan Williams. Contemplate the universe with me.
You do not know the work of God, who is working in everything.
Every cell of your body contains a helix strand of DNA made from 3 billion molecules. But only 1.5% of those 3 billion are the genes used to produce the proteins that determine your biological traits. Initially, this caused scientists to label the remaining 2.9 billion junk DNA. But today, scientists are discovering it's probably not junk at all, but critical to our lives and the well-being of later generations. But when asked exactly what good are those billions of mysterious molecules, they really have no idea. But God knows, and one day you will too. At AveMariaRadio.net, under Resources, explore the universe with me. I'm Dr. Stan Williams.
Since 1916, a lot of independent agents have recommended auto owners insurance, and a lot of parents have taken that recommendation to heart. So have a lot of their children, and grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. As we celebrate our first 100 years, Auto Owners Insurance thanks all those who have put their trust in us, and all the generations who will.
Call Choice Insurance Agency at 734-641-4200.
Gotta love Stephen Curtis Chapman. What a writer. I love his music. Like a warrior. Fall on your knees. As my friend Fran says, God answers an email. So many people were talking during the election last year and after the election and very upset about things that happened and questioning a lot of things and saying, gosh, what was going on? Everyone prayed so hard. Our Protestant brothers and sisters joined us across the country in so many amazing prayer efforts. And we had holy hours and we had masses that were said, similar to what happened in 2016 and even more intense than 2016. And many people wrote to me and said God did not answer our prayers. And I said, well, first of all, yes, he did. He just answered them differently, as it says in Isaiah 5, or 55 actually, about his ways being high above our ways. And secondly, the prayer does not go unheard or wasted. And when I think about what's going on right now, and I think about the fact that we are in the year of St. Joseph. St. Joseph has many titles. One of them is Terror of Demons. And I think there is a lot of evil that is coming into the light right now. The Pope spoke at his Angelus message about how God does not allow the darkness to overcome us, to take over everything. And so we have to continue that prayer. And many people have been praying about this situation with COVID. And there's a lot being revealed. We saw what is happening in New York State. We also now, and Vanessa and I are going to be talking about this in a few minutes, there is a lawsuit that has been filed against Governor Whitmer. And the Mackinac Center is involved in it, as is a local reporter, because they want answers regarding the COVID deaths of the elderly. You heard Prosecutor Lucido from Macomb County, who was a state senator last year when all this was going on. They were trying to get to the bottom of it. He's formed a committee of other prosecutors working on this as well. So what we need to do is we need to keep praying for God to shed his life. And things like this, for example, in terms of lying about the deaths, and I'm not saying we don't know this for sure with Gretchen Whitmer, but we have the evidence from New York, right, because of the FOIA, the FOI requests that were put in, the information that came back, is that there was a drastic difference between what we were told about the elderly who died in nursing homes of COVID in New York compared to what the New York administration told us. And so we have to just remember that evil eventually implodes on itself. And to sit there and to act as if you're a hero, and God is going to be the judge of anyone's heart, obviously, but to sit there and to write a book and to act as if you're a hero. And if you recall, Cuomo, when the numbers started to go down last year, said, God didn't do this, we did this. And then not too long ago, he was talking about, why did God do this with COVID? So all of these things are being brought out into the light. And as fast as the Biden administration is moving forward with some pretty crazy things with the executive orders and gender ideology and attacks on life, I think just as fast, it's like you can see, it says in Ephesians 6, right, the spiritual warfare, the battle going back and forth, you can see evil in many ways being unveiled. So hold fast, keep your eyes on Christ, and spend a lot of time, as Stephen Curtis Chapman advises us, on your knees in prayer. This is how we get things done, in addition to working, right, in our own vineyard to make a difference. But remember, God does answer an email, and he's doing it right now. We'll be right back.
And I'm all on my knees.
I love this song. Makes me want to dance. Anyway, okay. I want to give you the weather first. As I promised, an intense area of low pressure near Nova Scotia producing some cold and windy conditions across the northeast. And some hazardous conditions are in effect, from high wind warnings and wind advisories to wind chill warnings. But this is in the northeast. If you look at the map, you can see the dark purple. Meanwhile, across the south and southeast, some heavy rain and some thunderstorms. But if you look at the Midwest, in terms of Michigan, Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, looking clear. So that's good news. It's about 21 in southeastern Michigan, 834. Love to chat with my little sis, Vanessa Denhagarmo. And, of course, she is the president of Epiphany Communications and also one of our wonderful talk show hosts of the Epiphany program here on Ave Maria Radio. She and I met in the news years ago and have been fast friends ever since. Okay, V, we have plenty of time this morning. Yay! I'm so glad.
So much to get in. Let's see how much we get in.
Okay, let's see. We have a list. So should we start with the conflict of interest with Chris Cuomo and his brother Andrew? What do you think?
Sure, because right. Now he has a moral compass. You know, now he's realizing there's a conflict of interest of him covering his brother, but he had no problem covering his brother constantly last year when he was touting a book and, you know, touting him as an eligible bachelor. But now that there are negative stories coming about with his brother with sexual harassment scandals, now he has to step away because it's a conflict for him to cover his brother. I mean, I feel like we're in high school.
Right.
And like, really? I mean, it's insulting. It's ridiculous. I mean, CNN allowing this commentary is just ridiculous.
Well, and last year what was so disgusting is they were joking. Well, now we know. Joking while people were dying. You remember the one segment where Chris Cuomo had this giant Q-tip and said, this is what they need. They're joking around saying, this is what they need to use to test you, Big Brother, because of your large Italian-American nose, and they were joking back and forth, and he was, as you said, touting, you know, the fact that he was writing a book, and then he was just the recipient of an Emmy Award.
Yeah.
An Emmy Award. And this is a man whom we now know and with the allegations, he's innocent until proven guilty, okay, but we now know lied about the number of people, the number of elderly who died as a result of being placed in nursing homes with COVID. I mean, it's just so ridiculous, not only ridiculous, but sinful and evil.
Yeah, proving that CNN is not even a real news. This is not real news. This is not real journalism. This is entertainment. It's a show. It's a total show. You're not going to get accurate news stories because they're proving that to be true. The fact that they're not even investigating, and then the commentary that, oh, we're looking into this, but I can't cover it. Really, the whole 90 seconds you gave to the coverage of this scandal compared to the hours that you gave your brother all last year on touting his book and, you know, how great he is, and he's the poster child of how to handle COVID. Now we're seeing all these people that died because of his policies. No, this is not news, people. This is pure entertainment and self-serving media platform. That's what it is.
And some of the commentators on the left are saying, see, the media are reporting this. And I'm like, well, I'm sorry. This is too little too late. They're still not reporting it to the extent that they reported the allegations, which, by the way, were over 30 years old and which couldn't even be verified. Not one thing that Dr. Ford had said could be verified when they had all the hearings and all the testimony supposedly that was brought out against Brett Kavanaugh. And,
yeah.
You know, okay, fine, you want to investigate. There's a woman coming forward. Okay, let's do that. But it ended up where nothing could be proved. And now we have these cases of three women very, very recently coming forward now of saying that this happened in the last few years, and the media being very quiet about it until they were absolutely forced. And you know where they first talked about it? Online, on their websites, not on the air.
Yeah, not on the air. And then what about not even investigating thoroughly the Biden accusations with Tara Reid?
Oh, good point. Good point, because they were and Biden is now calling for an investigation, a separate investigation of Cuomo. But what about the situation with Tara Reid? When is that going to come back up? And that woman actually went ahead and filed formal charges against Biden.
Yes, formal charges, exactly. And where's that investigation? Where's that media coverage? It's the media. There's two things going on. One, that Trump is not in office. They have nothing else to talk about. You know, so they can't target Trump and President Trump anymore and make that headlines and shove that down our throats 24/7. So now they're forced to do something because, you know, now they're going to see their ratings tanking again. And now their arms are being, you know, their arms are being forced to cover this. But they're still not doing it to the extent they should be doing it as reporters and investigating facts and truth and wanting to get to the truth of what really went on.
Absolutely. We're talking with Vanessa Denha-Garmer, our weekly segment In the News, and we're talking about stories that you need to know about and giving you an inside look at how the media should operate according to journalistic basic 101 principles that have all been just tossed aside for the sake of ratings and for partisanship. And it's just getting worse and worse all the time. And there was a good piece by Molly Hemingway on the Federalist, and she did an interview on Fox News. I really like her. I think she's an excellent writer. She was talking about don't sit there and praise the media because they're finally mentioning the situation with Andrew Cuomo. They should have. People knew about this, and this is what's coming out. And now Mayor de Blasio, AOC, all these people in that part of the country who were familiar with apparently his bullying now, which is coming out in addition to the harassment charges, of a sexual nature. So where were all these people over the last 10 years, as long as his administration has been, you know, in the governor's office?
Yeah, and now this is surfacing now. Now this is surfacing today. And, you know, and to your point, you're mentioning that certain people are coming forward, but to your post that you posted the other day, all these women, all these feminine women, all the women on the left, where are they? They were all screaming when Kavanaugh was being accused. Where are they today standing up for the women now coming forward against Cuomo and against Biden with Tara Reid? Where are those women?
Right, you know,
those public figures. And why isn't the media asking them questions? Well, what do you think about this? I mean, shouldn't these, if they're, the women are screaming about Kavanaugh, wouldn't you normally as a reporter saying, okay, now this came out about Chris Cuomo and Joe Biden, what do you say about that?
Pelosi finally came out and said that she thinks the charges or the allegations are credible.
She did.
Hillary Clinton finally came out and said the same thing. But you don't see them on the talk shows 24/7 as they were with the Kavanaugh nomination.
Yeah.
And this is the thing. I heard a great commentary last night by a female commentator, and she was talking about the fact that, you know, the left always talks about they're the ones who care about women. You know, they're the ones who really put forward the things that are important, you know, for women. And yet look at what they put forward and look at what they hide. First of all, let's just talk about the culture of death. Let's talk about birth control. Let's talk about abortion. Let's talk about gender ideology, which is destroying women's sports and also the uniqueness of women, because anything women try to excel at, if a guy comes along and says he wants to identify as a woman, that's gone, right? It's just ridiculous. And then if you
boys
look at
in girls' bathrooms.
Yes.
I mean,
exactly.
I don't even want my daughter going into a public bathroom if the public place allows men in the bathrooms.
And this is a party that supposedly cares about women, and they ignore these major offenders. Everybody knew about Weinstein. How many years did that go on?
Yeah.
He was a darling of the Democratic Party. He supported the Democratic Party money-wise. What about Epstein?
Yeah.
What about all these guys in the news, right, that were on the air?
Yeah. And what about, honestly, going back to the point of destroying women's sports, it is not fair that men who are genetically male, can compete with girls in these sports. They're unfair. It's unfair. How is that right and just? How is that fair for women, you know, to be a boxer or to be on a basketball team or in a race? You know, you're racing, you're running, you're a runner, and you're going to compete against a male who's genetically made differently than you. And
no,
you can never be as strong as that person.
I hear all these stories and all the things that attack women, and I go back to, as I said at the top of the hour, Pope Paul VI in Humanae Vitae, because he said that women would be especially impacted by what the world was putting forward with abortion, with birth control, and sexual promiscuity. All right, the other thing that's going on is that some of these people who are still trying to cover for Cuomo and make excuses. I want to play this. You said you didn't hear this. I saw this last night, and Dominic practically had to sit on me. I was screaming so much when I was watching it. The excuses that some commentators on air are making for Cuomo's alleged behavior, which is, if true, is horrific. This is Dan Bongino in a debate with Geraldo Rivera on Fox News last night. Take a listen.
Now, I'm very sympathetic to these young ladies who have come forward. None, as far as I have heard yet, has alleged conduct that would be called sexual assault in the classic sense of it. I feel sorry for each one of those ladies. Their story deserves to be told. I think, though, that Andrew Cuomo, I know this is the most unpopular thing in America to say right now. He's a 63-year-old single guy living in Albany, the most boring town in America. He's all by himself, and single women come by. I'm not saying anything is appropriate. I'm saying that there's human nature, and we have to recognize that he's not
Geraldo,
a street
when you say that,
rapist
you basically
he's
say
being made out.
Oh, I'm old school. I'm kind of used to that. The world's changed here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all crap, what Geraldo just said. Because, listen, I'm sorry, man, but this, like you just said, this guy has put himself on the totem pole of morality. He's put himself at the top. Oh, Kavanaugh, who had the most ridiculous accusations you've ever heard leveled against him, debunked by every credible person who understood what really happened in Kavanaugh. And Cuomo was out there. He needs to take a polygraph test, a lie detector test. Nah, man. I'm sorry, Geraldo. He could be lonely all he wants, and go
get
a
dog. What are you going to
do
with him? What are you going to do?
I'm not doing anything with him. He's disgusting, and he's a creep.
What does his being alone in Albany and human nature have to do with it? So human nature is to allegedly harass women? This is how ridiculous it is. Now, imagine if this were the other way around, if this were a politician that Geraldo didn't like. I mean, this is the stupidity.
Yeah, it's all because Geraldo's friends with him.
Yeah.
Or how they have a relationship. Just like it was okay when Cuomo attacked Kavanaugh and wanted, you know, him to have a polygraph test and went after him. Now that the shoe's on the other foot and he's got legitimate accusations and more women are coming forward, Geraldo feels the need to defend him. And yet Geraldo is in the media.
Right.
Is in the news.
Right.
And it's
right.
What does being a lonely have to do with it? And why doesn't, so now you're justifying every lonely person, you know, you're lonely, you live in a bad city, there's
he's
not much to do.
He's 63 years old,
you're
poor
63.
Guy, he's single. What the heck does that have to do with the price
women.
Of tea in China? So
yeah.
You drop all your morality because you're a single person and you're Look. Lonely and you're in the cold town of Albany, the capital of New York? Come on!
Well, now you're setting a standard. You're telling every person in America, oh, we're going to justify you sexually harassing women at work because you're 63 and you're lonely and you live in a city that there's nothing going on and it's boring.
Now, if a conservative said those comments, whether that person were an editorial writer, a reporter, an author, that would be all over the news this morning. But Geraldo says this and basically supporting the guy, trying to say on the one hand, I'm not making any excuses, but on the other hand, it comes out with all these excuses. So
well,
this is what the left can do and justifies it.
Yeah,
really?
and nobody's calling them out on it. Nobody's calling them out. You're right. This is such hypocrisy and a double standard, and we as Americans have to stand up and say, no, I don't think so, Geraldo. I don't think so. I don't want a 63-year-old man harassing me at work. I don't care how old he is, how lonely he is, or what city he lives in. It's not okay. And I don't want him harassing the women in my life, my daughter, my sisters, me, or anybody else. It's not okay.
Yeah, and I think this is an important time to point out these hypocrisies and these excuses and what happens when the left gets caught at their own at their own game.
We got to start the hypocrisy movement.
Yeah, yeah, a double standard hypocrisy movement. It's
the
ridiculous.
Hypocrisy movement in America. I mean, it's all over the place. There's such a double standard. It's what's okay for the left is not okay for the right. And they keep justifying their behavior. This is ridiculous.
And they keep moving the goalposts all over the place. For example, with COVID, I want to cover two things now with Governor Whitmer. There's one reporter who's working with the Mackinac Center who's suing her because he believes...
Charlie LaDuff, yeah.
Charlie LaDuff, he believes that the situation in New York is very similar to the situation in Michigan with the elderly. And Prosecutor Lucido, who was on the show last week, was talking about this and raising the same concerns. Because of the fact that many of the blue states were following his pattern, because he was the gold standard for how to handle COVID. So well, tell us about the latest with this lawsuit, V, and Charlie LaDuff.
So Charlie LaDuff and the Mackinac Policy Center is, or Mackinac Center, actually, they're suing the governor to get data on the deaths of the seniors in the senior homes, and they are comparing it to New York. And this Charlie was the only one covering this for the last several months. Very few media were even looking into this at all. Now you're seeing a couple other stories surfacing. But the data has always been the issue in Michigan. And even the Macomb County Executive Mark Cackle was complaining about data all last year, too. Where's the science? Where's the data in terms of your reasoning for closing businesses? So data and science has never been available. This is the problem, people. These are taxpayer dollars. Government owes us all information. It's public information. They should be transparent. They have no right to hide anything from us. We should know all the data, all the facts, all the information, how money is spent everywhere in government. They work for us. And when we start putting government officials on pedestals and not demanding truth for them, this is what happens. And it happens all across America. I have seen this through and through. I've seen it my entire career as a reporter and when I worked in government. They work for us, and we should not be okay when information is hidden from us.
And this is the same thing, the same modus operandi that Whitmer is doing is the same thing that New York did in terms of their administration stalling and stalling and stalling in terms of the request for information on the actual number of deaths. And now there are lawsuits that are going forward, thanks be to God. What about Gordon, the health official in the state, who was basically given a nice paycheck to step down and signed an agreement where he can't talk about it?
Yeah, a gag order. That's interesting. I mean, he taxpayer dollars, $155,000, I believe, in the report, was given to stay silent. So that's our taxpayer dollars here in the state of Michigan to keep an appointee silent. By leaving. So now we know that there was an issue when he left. What happened? And you kind of wonder, what is it that he knows that is a threat to the state of Michigan?
Right.
You know, what is he knowing that could hurt the state of Michigan and the governor's administration? And why is that kept hidden from us? Why is anybody paid out to keep silent? Again, these are public figures, people. They work for us. They're elected to serve us. We have lost our way in the United States. These are not people given privileges. They are supposed to be serving us. That's what public servants are supposed to do. They're elected to serve our using our money. So anytime you see something like this, these are red flags all over the place. What's happening here?
And the same situation, V, that we saw with the Cuomo allegations, where the media are being forced to finally ask some questions, right, of Governor Cuomo. Now they're finally being forced, and they're being forced by this lawsuit and by this situation with Robert Gordon, who took this agreement, basically, as you said, this gag order and a big fat paycheck to keep quiet. There's a couple of stories out there, and this one says it was not revealed why he was leaving at the time of his resignation. However, he resigned shortly after the Michigan Supreme Court effectively invalidated many of Whitmer's executive orders pertaining to COVID-19, and Gordon issued essentially the same mandates under state laws unaddressed by the court. The director's decision to step down during the pandemic prompted questions, but the governor repeatedly avoided giving direct answers when asked whether she requested he resigned.
Yeah. And the fact that you say reporters are forced, that's the biggest problem, because that is their job. They shouldn't be forced to ask questions. And they should not give any elected official, I don't care who it is, a pass on answering questions. This whole orchestrated Zoom press conferences where they have to give questions ahead of time, and then they decide as an administration what questions she's going to answer, that's not okay. That did not happen for us as reporters, T. We would go to press conferences. We would pound these elected officials with tons of questions. They had to answer them. That is how it works. That's journalism. We should be asking every single question possible till we get the answers we need, we want facts. That's what we're seeking. Truth and facts. What happened? Why did it happen? How did it happen? Who did this? I mean, the who, what, where, when, how, and why is the basics of journalism, and that's not even being asked anymore.
So
this is a perfect
time right now, V, to put pressure not only on the government officials that owe us these answers, and we don't have time to go into Biden not appearing at any press conferences, which is ridiculous. In 40 days, not one session with his press secretary. Now, there's nothing wrong with him showing up and the press secretary being there. That's usually standard operating procedure, because a press secretary will step in and say one more question, two more questions, whatever.
They kind of run the show.
They're trying to run the show, right?
Yeah.
But he has not made any appearances. But this is a good time for people to put pressure on, especially here in Michigan and national media as well. Get to the bottom of these things.
Because at the end of the day, they affect all of us. You don't think it does, but it really does. It affects our everyday lives. It affects how they spend our money. It is affecting lives, because
people
lost lives with COVID, died.
And not only all of these arbitrary rules, not saying that we can't be safe and shouldn't be safe, but the arbitrary rules. She refuses in Michigan to answer questions. She keeps moving the goalposts here and there. Why do we only have 25% capacity in restaurants when you can go to a casino, as Prosecutor Lucido said last week, go to a casino and have a beer and a hamburger till all hours of the day and night, and gamble to your heart's content? Why? Because that money, a good portion of it, goes to the state. So much to talk about, V. We almost got through everything on our list except for the Biden. We barely mentioned the Biden press conference situation, but hopefully we can pick that up next week. Okay, so where do we find you online?
You can go to Epiphany Communications and Coaching, CCC. You can find me on all social media platforms. The one I use for Epiphany, for Ave Maria, is Communications Evangelist Coach Vanessa Denha-Garmo on Facebook. I'm also on Twitter and LinkedIn and Instagram. You can find me everywhere. And we have a great show lineup this weekend, so hope you can join us.
V, thanks so much. Great discussion. And we will keep texting and chatting, because it's our therapy for each other every single day.
You and our little secret team, me and you and our secret team.
Yes, our secret team on the inside sharing a lot of stories with us, and we greatly appreciate and pray for them every single day. Thanks, V. We'll talk to you next week. And, of course, tune in to Vanessa Denha-Garmo for her wonderful program, Epiphany, right here on Ave Maria Radio. We'll be right back to let you know what's coming up in the next hour of Catholic Connection. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. How can Catholics help heal America's tribal divisions? Former U.S. Congressman and pro-life Democratic leader Dan Lipinski joins me and Ralph Martin in tackling this key question at the 4th Annual Familiaris Consortio Conference, Strangers in a Strange Land. There is a place for Catholics who don't feel comfortable with either political party if they have the courage to be Catholic first. Join us in person on Saturday, March 6th from 8:30 to noon at Father Gabriel Richard High School, or go to AveMariaRadio.net.
Food for the Journey, Sister Ann Shield.
How easy it is to have faith
to have faith when things are going well and how hard it is to have faith when things are going poorly. That's why we need to pray daily for faith, to grow in faith, so that even in adversity, we can, in a sense, hold on to his hand and rest against his heart. That's what God wants. He wants us to grow in faith. Is that something that you should pay attention to? What can you do to strengthen your faith? Make sure there's a daily prayer time. That is fundamental. Make sure there are times for adoration with the Blessed Sacrament. Ask the saints, ask the Blessed Mother to intercede for you that your faith may grow. It's in there by the grace of baptism and confirmation. It's in you. There is faith in you, but you've got to break it open, so to speak. You've got to give it room to grow, room to breathe, and you've got to feed it by thanking God when things go well, by praying to him rather than just giving in to discouragement. He will come through. He will help you, and your faith will grow. Pray every day for that grace. Lord, increase my faith.
Sister Ann Shields gives you food for the journey, weekday mornings at 6:45 and again at 11:30 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Catholic Connection and Ave Maria Radio every day. AveMariaRadio.net. Coming up, looking forward to chatting with Janet Brown, former Planned Parenthood employee, and her conversion story. She's now with the ministry, And Then There Were None. Kristen Hawkins, another measure being put forth that does the opposite of what it proclaims to be doing. We'll talk about that. HR1, you want to hear that interview? Plus you on a Tuesday morning. We'll be right back.